السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو، صدق الله العظيم. Respected and distinguished guests, our ulama ikram and many of the other panelists who have benefited us tremendously from their presentation. My beloved friends, brothers, and the people who are inshallah listening on Radio Islam. The topic that we have is Islam and sport, and because of the limited time that we have available, I'm going to go straight into the topic. When we speak about sport, there are two types of sports. One is active sport, someone who takes an active participation, and someone who enjoys passive sport. A person who sits like a couch potato watching sports on television. Now, I don't know why this particular topic has come my way, because many people who know me do know that I do have a certain passion for sports. And it's amongst my many weakness. Make dua Allah Ta'ala rid me from this weakness. One is active sport, to take part in sport itself. Now, in that, the Sharia has given us some guidelines. With the right intention, with the right condition, it is permissible. But we must keep in mind why will people take part in sport? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala who had said, minds get tired as bodies get tired. So treat the mind and treat yourself from time to time with something trivial. He also said, refresh your body with something trivial, for a tired mind becomes blind. When you become tired, you can't think what you are doing. You can't concentrate on what you are doing. So by the very nature of human being, we need from time to time a little bit of something trivial to entertain ourselves, to be able to make ourselves fresh for higher purpose and greater things in life. And similarly with regard to sports, if the intention is physical exercise, health of the body, take something trivial with the intention of refreshing ourselves for greater things in life, it is permissible. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, there used to be various sporting things and activities that the Sahaba used to engage in. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, the Sahaba used to engage in athletics, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged them. It has been reported that Ali radiallahu anhu was a very fast athlete. In one very beautiful incident, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came past the tribe of Banu Aslam. Now they were from the Quraysh and the progeny of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, the great grandfather of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, practice archery as your father Ismail was a great archer. And that is why we showed and we had a presentation of archery. People should try and be inclined towards that. And then he said, keep on shooting arrows. I'm with Banu so and so. Now this was a very close family with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, the people from the other tribe, they stopped shooting. They were busy competing with archery. But when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'm with Banu so and so, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped shooting. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, why do you not shoot? And they replied, Ya Rasulullah, when you are with them, then how can we shoot? We don't want you to be our opposition. So they stopped shooting. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, shoot, I am with all of you. We must have heard how Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raced with his wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And please don't get it wrong, it's not girlfriend. Also, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took part in wrestling with a very famous wrestler, Rukana. Rukana was a very famous wrestler in Arabs, in the Arabian Peninsula. He came once to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't understand all argumentation and evidence and intellectual arguments with regard to sport. I'm a wrestler. If you are a Nabi of Allah, come wrestle with me. And if you are the Nabi, you will overpower me. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam engaged him in wrestling. And although he was a famous wrestler, in a short period of time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, overpowered him, and he was under Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's strength. He got up and said, Ya Rasulullah, no, this is not fair. Because that time he didn't accept Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at first. He said, oh Muhammad, this is not fair. He then realized that he was the foremost wrestler in Arabia, and this was beyond physical strength. This was divine help. It was something else. He then came in his mind that definitely this is the Prophet of Almighty Allah. So the second and third time when he engaged Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wasn't with the intention of actually wrestling with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yet every time he wrestled with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he brought his body closer to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to benefit from being in the proximity and in the body of the Rasul of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he engaged, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam engaged him in wrestling. So there are many such examples. I won't go into many of them. I will just say, Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say that teach your children swimming, archery and horse riding. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there is barakah in the forelocks of the horse. There is blessings in the forelocks of the horse. Now obviously this gives us that there is permissibility in engaging in sports, provided few things, very briefly. One is, the game itself is not forbidden, the recreation is not forbidden. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has expressly prohibited Muslims from making two animals fight for the sake of entertainment. Unfortunately, it happens in many Muslim countries also. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prohibited. So sports or recreation, which has been specifically prohibited. The second thing, it must not hinder us from the remembrance of Allah. Must not take us away from remembering Allah. Allah says in the Quran, La tulhikum amwalukum wala auladukum an dhikrillah. Don't allow your wealth and your children to hinder you from remembering Allah. When even your wife and children can't take you away or are not supposed to take you away from remembering Allah, then surely, you know, taking part in active sports cannot allow you to go away from the remembrance of Allah. And then thirdly, the most important thing, there must not be anything specifically prohibited in the Sharia. Taking part in sports with shorts, which is prohibited in the Sharia. But now that is only one aspect of my presentation. I think more importantly, I want to speak more about the passive aspect of sport. People who watch sports, you know, tremendously. Now, in this particular way, it's some ways a new phenomenon. One cannot recall in the history of the Muslim Ummah, or at least in the Sahaba, that they used to actually go and, you know, in large numbers to go and see sport. Now, I'm not giving a fatwa that it is not permissible. I do understand, and I'm cognizant of the argument that many a times to take part or look at sport and to like a particular, you know, sport, whether it be cricket, whether it be football, or whether watch a football match or a cricket match, is sometimes better than getting involved in many of the other negative aspects that are around, like drugs, etc. And in that particular way, yes, it is a lesser of the evils that are out there in terms of entertainment for our young people. As I said, I'm not a mufti, I'm not giving, and maybe I wouldn't give this type of lectures in a masjid. I'm speaking to a youth audience, therefore I'm going to speak a little bit more because I know a little bit of this particular aspect. You know, someone has very beautifully said, soccer is a game in which a handful of fit people run around for 1.5 hours, watched by millions of people who could really use that exercise. You know, soccer is a game of people who are fit people who are running around for 1.5 hours, watched by 1.5 million people who could actually do with that particular type of exercise. As I said, I am quite cognizant of the argument that compared to other negative aspects, it's better that you take part in sports or watch sports than getting involved in drugs or getting involved with the opposite sex. All those type of things I am cognizant of. There is one incident in the life of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Once Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came in the masjid and there were display of lancing and shields. And when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, they stopped. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, why do you stop? Carry on playing. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam watched them. And he said, carry on playing. I want to show people of other religions that there is vastness in Islam. There isn't the difficulty in Islam, there is vastness. Again, please, I'm not a mufti, I'm not giving any type of judgment on this particular matter. Now, while I do understand that, as I said, that is better than the other negative aspects, and I'm also sure that there is some enjoyment in watching some of the skills displayed by some of the sports people. I'm sure many of you would identify with it. There's some joy watching a Muhammad Yusuf cover drive, right? Or there's some joy in watching a Shahid Afridi hitting a six. Or there's some joy in seeing Shoaib Akhtar, you know, knocking out the stumps with a beautiful Yorker. I know people today, they say cricket is bored. So let us look at some other examples. There is some joy in maybe watching, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo going down the flank and passing the ball, or Steven Gerrard free kick, or Drigba, Drogba goal, or Fabregas pass. Now, I've covered all the main soccer teams that normally Muslim youth, they support. But they don't talk about, you know, Kaizer Chiefs. You know, never talk about Kaizer Chiefs. I don't know whether it is an ideological type of slavery, but be as it may. Now, there is some joy in that particular type of aspect. But let us look at certain things here. I think people need to have a balance in this. Has anyone heard the name Bill Shankly? Right. Bill Shankly was a very famous Liverpool coach in the years when the Premiership used to dock at Liverpool. It hasn't done so for the past 17 years. And I don't think it will do this year also. Sorry, Liverpool fans, for that. But that's a fact. So, Bill Shankly has made, you know, some very famous quotes with regard to soccer. So one day he said with regard to, Liverpool is a place where two major teams come, Liverpool and Everton. So he said there are only two teams in Liverpool, Liverpool and Liverpool Reserves. And he once made a bid for Lou Macari. Lou Macari was a very famous midfielder in the 70s. And then he decided to go to Manchester United, the rival. So Bill Shankly said that, never mind, we missed him, we only wanted him for our reserves. So a very famous personality, and Liverpool achieved great success when he was in charge of Liverpool. So one day he made this particular statement. He said, some people believe football is a matter of life and death. I'm very disappointed with this attitude. I can assure you it is much more important than life and death. Now, I ask you that, can this particular aspect be correct? Would it matter to us on the day of Qiyamah when you are standing on the bridge of Pul Sirat, whether Manchester United or Liverpool won the Premiership, or how many cups you won, or how many Premierships you won? Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to give this example, and a very famous example. He said that a group of students went on a boat ride, and the person who was a boat ride was a very ignorant and a very simple person. And when they took him to the boat ride, they said, while they were, you know, trying now, as students, they were playing around with him, fooling around with him, and they said, do you know history? Said, what are you talking about, history? I know the history of my grandfather, nothing more than that. He said, quarter of your life is gone. After a while, they said, do you know geography? He said, well, beyond my own village, I know no other geography. He said, half your life is gone. Then afterwards, they asked him, do you know mathematics? He said, I know how much I'm supposed to take from you for this ride, but more than that, I don't know any mathematics. He said, after a while, the wave came, the boat started all on the verge of sinking, it was shaking in the water, and this boat rider triumphantly called out to them and said, do any one of you know how to swim? And they replied in the negative. So he said, never mind my half or three-quarter life gone, your whole life is gone. Brothers, wallahi al-azim, if we haven't done righteous deeds, then it doesn't matter on the day of Qiyamah. How many premierships anyone of your teams have won. Another thing is, I have just made mention of an ayat, لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله. Don't allow your wealth and your children to divert you from the remembrance of Allah. Our passion for watching sport should not hinder our obligations to Allah and our fellow human beings. Now there is 5 minutes left for an exciting match and the Maghrib Azan goes. What do many of us do at that time? You know, we know the Muslims. No, you can read Isha Namaz for another 45. You can read Maghrib Namaz for another 45 minutes. But is that the right thing to do? If we have allowed our passion in sport to hinder us from remembering Allah, we have done wrong. And Muslims should not allow sport to exert any form of control over our lives. The only sort of conditioning that we should permit in our life is one which encourages the Islamic code of life. In other words, our life should be controlled and directed according to Islamic values and ideals. Another very important aspect with regard to this passion for this special sport is the hero worshipping of our teams and the stars that play for those teams. The worshipping of sports stars is a matter of serious concern. Muslims will prefer to dress in the colors of their favorite soccer teams rather than in Islamic attire. Muslim children and adults are familiar with the names, st- stats and even histories of numerous sports performances. They are always prepared to defend the heroes if even a word is said against them. One wonder if these very same people will defend Islam with the same enthusiasm as they defend the sporting heroes. And this can have serious repercussions. Let me give you an example. Sunday Times, December 23, 2007, carried an article about the antics of the Manchester United Football Club. And it said that they had a Christmas party which was out of bounds to the players' families. And it was a strictly, quote-unquote, boys' night out. A 19-year-old player was charged with rape. A famous player by the name of Wayne Rooney, and I'm sure many of you would be aware with regard to him, although one day before he had announced that he is getting married, one day before this particular Christmas party, he was seen canvassing women to do what he said is a threesome. And many of you young people would know what I'm speaking about. Right? Now what I'm saying is, are we going to hero worship such people? And are we going to carry the name of Rooney and come in front of Allah Ta'ala? When this is what has been publicly reported about him. So while we enjoy a degree of passion and a degree of, you know, I understand the type of situations, light-hearted rivalry, creating some sort of conversation, but are we going to make such people our heroes? Seriously consider this particular type of thing. And then, lastly, I will go. There are many things I could speak on, but lastly, time is going out. Fanaticism. A fanatic is one who can be defined as a person who rejects facts, who strives to impose his beliefs upon others, and who consider all other beliefs to be corrupt. He consider opposition to be hateful, and his enthusiasm may easily translate into violence. We know this can happen. Hugo Sanchez, the famous Mexican star, especially in the 1986 World Cup, had said, "Whoever invented football should be worshipped as God." Right? And this particular type of fanaticism has reached where, in the 1994 World Cup, Andre Escobar, the Colombian player, was killed because he scored an own goal. Right? And Islam can never condone such fanaticism as defined above. If after a match, and I'm asking the youngsters to think about this, in which our team loses, we become moody. We become angry with our parents. We become angry with our friends. Or it's sometimes directing our anger at someone who supports another team, then we have become prey to fanaticism in some way. So all I'm saying is, I've spoken about two types of sport, active, I said permissibility with certain conditions, and the specifics of sport. Now, as I said, I do realize the argument. And I do understand that people would sometimes watch a match, watch a cricket game, there is some joy and passion in watching some of the skills that are displayed. But I think some of these aspects that I've made mention of should be serious points of consideration for people who take part and who enjoy some of the sporting matches. Jazakallah.